God measures generosity by the size of the sacrifice, right? It's not equal giving that matters, but equal sacrifice. And tithing is 10% of what you earn. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't started tithing yet, to start somewhere and to give your way up to 10%. I'm going to be obedient and I'm going to give this amount and trust the Lord that he'll bless you and help you. So thank you to many who do give in their honor and worship to the Lord in their tithes and offerings. I just want to highlight the taco bar is coming up in a couple of weeks. And so everybody likes tacos, I think. So build your own and it'll be a great fundraiser for our youth group. So I encourage you to be a part of that August 18th. And then the water baptism class. Yeah, we're excited about that. There's a sign-up sheet down in the lobby. If you are interested in being water baptized, come and check it out, ask your questions. And the baptism service will actually be Sunday, September 15th. I think that's the right date. So the class beforehand and then the baptism class, or the baptism itself in September. So God's doing stuff. We're excited about that. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, a rookie police officer was assigned to ride in a cruiser with an experienced partner. And a call came over the car's radio telling them to disperse some people who were loitering. The officers drove to the street and observed a small crowd standing on a corner. And the rookie rolled down his window and said, "Hey, let's get off the corner." No one moved. So he barked again, "Let's get off the corner." Intimidated, the group of people began to leave, casting puzzled glances in his direction. Proud of his first official act, the young police officer turned to his partner and asked, "Well, how did I do?" "Pretty good," replied the veteran, "especially since this was a bus stop." Cheryl, you better smile. All right. Well, we're concluding a series titled God is Full of Surprises. See, there's always more surprises from God than we realize. And we've been looking at a man in the Bible named Saul, who later had his name changed to Paul. Well, part one, when God singles you out. You see, some believe being a Christ follower is like hitting the easy button, right? You just show up and it's not, right? It's not that easy. And just as Saul was an enemy of God, you see, we were enemies of God. Our sin and our love of this world and its ways made us his enemies. And like Saul, we were singled out and changed by the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel first confronts us with our sin before it offers us grace. Part two, when God surprises me with his grace. Grace is the undeserved favor of God toward humanity. Mercy is not getting something that we deserve, the wrath of God. Grace is getting something we don't deserve, the righteousness of Christ. We give God our sins. We give God our righteous and good deeds, our good works, and we hold them up, and to him they're just like filthy rags, but we give them to him, and God gives us his grace. It's this great exchange. We give him our sin, and he gives us his grace. Grace from God is a free gift for us. It wasn't free for God, it cost Jesus his very life. Part three, when God surrounds me with his family. You see, Saul is in Damascus, and he's blind, and he's hungry, and he's contemplating his life. And Ananias, another character in the story, he was reluctant to go to Saul, but he obeyed God, and he prays for Saul, and Saul regains his eyesight. Saul was then baptized, he was fed, and he stayed with the believers there in Damascus. So what did we learn last week? We belong in God's family. We belong in God's family. Saul wasn't alone. God surrounded him with other believers. We are no longer strangers and foreigners to God. We are members of God's very own family. We belong in this community of faith called Peace Chapel. Secondly, we learn that we bear his name. When we give our hearts, when we give our lives to God, he adopts us into his family. And Jesus has a really, 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 really big family. See, Saul here is no longer the guy putting Christians in jail for following Jesus. Now he was Paul, who was bringing people to Jesus. And like Saul, we have a new identity in Christ. The third thing we heard is we bring love to the family. We bring love to the family. Ananias called Saul brother. He laid hands on him. He restored his sight. He baptized him. He fed him. And he brought him to the rest of the believers in Damascus as the newest member of God's family. You see, it's amazing how God brings people together. Strange. Look around. Look at the person next to you. We're all strange, right? But he brings us together as one family. I love that here at Peace Chapel, we have babies. We've got toddlers. We've got elementary age kids. We've got junior highers, high schoolers. We've got young adult age. We've got middle-aged kids. And we've got senior adults. One big growing family. Hear this morning. You need this church, and this church needs you. Even though at times, just like real families, sometimes that they don't get along and their feelings get hurt and things are said, understand that the benefits of belonging to this are real. This is God's family. Thank God that he surrounds us with this family. We don't have to do this alone. Can you imagine going through grief alone? No one's there to comfort and to pray with you. So no one visit you in a hospital. This is the family of God. I remember getting some news that I couldn't contain. Julie and I were married and living in an apartment at North Central University. It's 1 minute. It's in downtown Minneapolis, and go Vikings. The chapel service was about to start around 10:15, and students were finding their seats, and I was in the lobby talking to a few friends when I saw Julie walking toward me. She was working and was helping put me through school at the time, and she had this look on her face when she pulled me aside and told me, "You see, I'm sure we've all had news of some sort that we couldn't wait to share. We were bursting at the seams to share with someone. We got engaged, or we were expecting our first child, or we're expecting a grandchild in the family, or we got a promotion at work that we really wanted, or we aced a test, or worked on a project at school that we worked tirelessly on. We got some good news, and so we couldn't wait to tell somebody. What is it about good news that we want to share it? Right? We want others to share our joy and our accomplishment. We want others to enjoy the win with us. It's just too good to keep to ourselves, and so we gotta let it out. We just bursting at the seams. You know what I'm talking about. The title of my message this morning, and to conclude this series, God is Full of Surprises, is When God Sends Me Out to Serve Him. When God sends me out to serve him. So, quick recap, if you're new today and haven't been a part of the series, the story about Saul, about Ananias, is found in Acts chapter 9. And as an enemy of God and his church, Saul was dragging Christians to jail, both men and women. Then one day, as he's heading to Damascus to persecute and arrest even more followers of Jesus, God shines a bright light that it knocks him to the ground, and he's blind. He can't see a thing, and he hears a voice talking to him, and Saul is actually having a conversation with Jesus himself. After that conversation, Saul's companions, they lead him into the city, and for 3 days, Saul doesn't eat or drink or do anything. And God shows Ananias in a vision to go to Saul and to pray for him. And Ananias reminded God how bad this Saul was. But he obeyed God. He visits Saul. He prays for him, and he regains his vision. Then Saul, pretty cool, he gets baptized. And then he eats some food. And he stays with the believers. So I want to continue the story. It's found in Acts chapter 9, starting with verse 20. Here we go. Let me find my page here. It says this, "And immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogues, saying, 'He is indeed the Son of God.' And all who heard him were amazed. 'Isn't this the same man who persecuted Jesus' followers with such devastation in Jerusalem?' they asked. 'And we understand that he came here to arrest them and take them in chains to the leading priests.' Saul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. And after a while, the Jewish leaders decided to kill him. But Saul was told about their plot and that they were watching for him day and night at the city gate so they could murder him. So during the night, some of the other believers let him down in a large basket through an opening in the city wall. And when Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers, but they were all afraid of him. They thought he was only pretending to be a believer. Then Barnabas," thank God for Barnabas, "Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus. Barnabas also told them what the Lord had said to Saul and how he boldly preached in the name of Jesus in Damascus." Verse 28, "Then the apostles accepted Saul, and after that he was constantly with them in Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. He debated with some Greek-speaking Jews, but they plotted to murder him. And when the believers heard about it, however, they took him to Caesarea and sent him on to his hometown of Tarsus. The church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and it grew in strength and numbers. The believers were walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit." So Saul begins preaching all over the place, and his heart has been converted, and now his behavior has changed too. And some people are amazed at Saul's teaching and his preaching. They couldn't refute his arguments and proofs that Jesus was the Messiah when he quoted prophecies and from Scripture and from the Old Testament. And of course, this wouldn't be a story, but the religious leaders wanted to kill him. They felt that Saul, one of their own, had betrayed them. Instead of playing for the White Sox, he left to play for the Cubs. See what I did there? I made Saul a Cub. Surrounding the city of Damascus was a great wall with gates. And Saul's Jewish enemies tried to prevent him from escaping by setting a watch at the gate. But he was warned in the plot to murder him, and he escaped during the night with some help of some other believers there in a large basket. How cool was that? How cool would that be? But Saul, you see, was beginning to suffer for the name of Jesus, as God said to Ananias in Acts chapter 9, verse 16. This is what God said, "And I will show him how much he must suffer for me." It's already beginning. It's already beginning in Saul's life. One commentator said this: Saul would discover what it meant to be the hunted instead of the hunter. It changed. 3 years after Saul's conversion, he returns to Jerusalem. And the Jews living there are his enemies. And the Christians that are living there, they were afraid, and they're skeptical of this Saul. They thought that this was some kind of a trick, pretending to be a believer so he could arrest them. Then a friend stepped in, Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement. He did two things for Saul. Number one, he introduced Saul to the apostles, specifically Peter and James. Number two, Barnabas testified to the character and the authenticity of Saul's conversion. You see, Barnabas was a great encouragement to Saul, and because of Barnabas, Saul was accepted by the apostles and the believers. You see, Barnabas had a crucial role in his life. And it says that Saul stayed with them in Jerusalem. It was about 2 weeks, and he went around preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And this power that Saul had speaks of the dynamic work of the Holy Spirit in his life. Saul even debated some of the Jews there, and again, there was another plot to murder him. Later in the book of Acts, chapter 22, Saul is retelling the story when the Lord appeared to Saul in a vision and told him to leave Jerusalem at once. And so the apostles, they took him to Caesarea on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. And from there, Saul went by boat to Tarsus, which is present-day Turkey, where he was born. And he stayed for years. So Saul disappears from the story for about 10 years, and he's doing ministry, and he comes back on the scene in Acts chapter 11. So there's a 10-year gap between 9 and 11 there. And all the believers, it says, were walking in the fear of the Lord. And through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the church prospered, and the church grew in strength, and the church grew in numbers. And the church enjoyed peace since the persecution had stopped. Everybody took a deep breath. You see, Saul went to Damascus to arrest and persecute the Christians, but God had other plans for Saul. God sent Saul out to serve him. Saul's life was going in one direction, and now it's going in the complete opposite direction. There was a radical change in Saul's life. It was definitely undeniable. He wasn't arresting and dragging people to jail. God had confronted him, singled him out, poured out his grace, surrounded him with family, and now he's going to send Saul out. When God sends you out to serve him, I can't shut up. I can't shut up. Now, in our house growing up, we weren't allowed to say shut up. That was almost like a curse word, right? But this is talking about how you can't stay quiet. Acts chapter 9, verse 20, and immediately Saul began preaching about Jesus in the synagogues, immediately saying, "He is indeed the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed. You see, Saul couldn't keep his big mouth shut. He had to share with everyone what Jesus had done for him. He was blind, but now he can see, not just with his physical eyes, but he could see spiritually. He realized what he was doing was wrong in persecuting Jesus and the church. So Saul came to this realization that Jesus was the Son of God. He was bold. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He wasn't afraid to share his faith. In fact, he was excited. And I believe Saul was excited about his faith because the words of the hymn, "Amazing Grace," "I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." That was Paul. That was Saul here. And when you truly understand that you are lost without Jesus, and then you experience this amazing grace and you come to Jesus and are found, friends, it changes you. You'll get excited too. That's what it's like when you experience the grace of God. But it was just the opposite for the prophet Jeremiah. He was struggling, and he was in discouragement and struggling with being overwhelmed, and he wanted to throw in the towel and quit and give up. But listen to what he said in Jeremiah 20, verse 9. "I think to myself, I can forget the Lord and no longer speak his name. I can do that. But the word inside me, like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I wear myself out holding it in, but I can't do it any longer. Your message, God, burns in my heart and my bones, and I can't keep silent. God, your word is like a burning fire shut up in my bones. See, that's how Saul felt. He couldn't shut up. You have a testimony that is unique to you. And no one can refute it because it's your story. It's your story of God's grace changing you like he did Saul. Acts 1:8, but when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power to what? To testify about me with great effect to the people in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Power to testify, to use your words to share what God has done in you. And when God sends you out to serve him, you just can't shut up. When God sends you out to serve him, you just can't shut up. Because you got something to share. Someone needed to hear that today. Forgiveness. When God sends you out to serve him, secondly, I can't stay put. Saul couldn't stay put. He was on the move. Acts chapter 9, I read it earlier. After a while, the Jewish leaders decided to kill him. So during the night, some of the other believers let him down in a large basket through an opening in the city wall. He debated with some Greek-speaking Jews, but they plotted to murder him. When the believers heard about it, however, they took him to Caesarea and sent him on to his hometown of Tarsus. He had a couple of death threats, so he had to escape, not just once, but twice. It was because Saul couldn't shut up about the gospel. He had this fire shut up in his bones. He had to share with people. God had a purpose and a plan for Saul to talk about God to the non-Jews, to the kings, and to the rest of the people of Israel. Saul was chosen by God, singled out to do an important work. His ministry was preaching the gospel wherever he went. When Saul/Paul was in prison, he didn't sit there feeling sorry for himself. No. He wrote half the New Testament letters to churches and individuals that have influenced and impacted millions worldwide. He couldn't stay put. You see, when a soldier signs up for military service, there comes a time when he is commissioned to go to war to serve in another country. When a police officer finishes his training at the academy, he is commissioned to protect and serve the community. When a pastor finishes training for ministry, they are commissioned to preach the Word of God where God puts them. When you become a follower of Jesus, you are commissioned to share your faith wherever you go. You are commissioned to be a witness of what God has done in you, and the life you live is a testimony of God's amazing grace. Every person who's been changed by grace is commissioned to not only testify and use words like Becky just did, but to go. It may not be a third world country or the country of Africa, but it could be going across the street to a neighbor, going to a family member's home and to share Jesus with them. No matter where you go, whether it's in school or at the store or at work, it's about living your testimony of God's grace in your life. You see, Saul was changed, and he went, and he was sent and commissioned to go. You may not be a missionary or a church planter like Saul, but whatever God calls you to do and to be, you are to testify and be a witness for him. You see, like Saul, God often takes the raw materials from a person's past and makes something new from it for the future. God often takes the raw materials from a person's past and he makes something new from it for the future. You see, God took Saul's passion and his zeal to destroy and made him a missionary to heal. God took his hard-nosed personality and made him a tough, resilient martyr. God took his education and his background and made him a writer of the New Testament. And God wants to send you out to serve Him in your world and the people that you interact with. See, God is full of surprises. Following Jesus isn't just hitting the easy button. He has more in store for us. There is always more of Jesus. The God of surprises singled us out. Then He surprised us with His grace. Then God surprised us by surrounding us with His family. And then God threw another curveball at us, another surprise. And He's sending us out to serve Him. We can't shut up. We can't stay put. A few weeks ago, I read from the book, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader by C.S. Lewis, and how Eustace Scrub, a character in that book, he was turned back into a boy by Aslan, represented by Jesus, by peeling off the layers of his dragon skin. He was turned back into a boy, and how God peels off the layers of self. God peels off the layers of sin, going deep into our life. We might find these changes made in us by Jesus, that God is maybe turning our anger away from hurting others or at ourselves and toward the enemy of our soul. That God is turning our apathy into passion for lost people. That God is transforming our addictions into a thirst for God's truth. That God is changing our abilities and our skills that were once an idol in our lives. Maybe it opens a door that we are able to share with someone else who needs to hear what we have to say. Well, in the lobby of that chapel that morning at North Central University, Julie pulled me aside and she told me we were having a baby. I think I was in shock for a moment, and then I was elated. I remember skipping chapel, but we had news to share. We went to our apartment, and we called our parents that we were expecting and that they were going to be grandparents. Pastor Jim and Jill's first grandchild was on the way, and the fourth for my parents. We had news to share. We couldn't keep silent. And if you are a follower of Jesus, you can't keep silent either. We can't be undercover Christians, especially today. You might be here and you might think that your life is way too messed up for God to ever change and for the good and to send you out. You might believe that you don't have a testimony that anyone wants to hear or that your life isn't making a difference in anyone. Can I just tell you this morning that's just not true? Once God's grace enters your life, it will transform you and continue to transform you. What Saul, back in the story, what he had to say was hard to hear for those who heard him speak. It was hard. Weren't you the guy that was dragging people? What are you saying now? It was hard for them. But what was even more convincing to them was his changed life. People knew that what he taught was real because they could see the evidence in the way he lived his life. I'll say it again. People knew that what Saul taught was real because they could see the evidence and the way he lived his very life. When God sends you and I out to serve him, you know, we can't shut up. The Holy Spirit will prompt you, say something to that waitress. Say something to that mailman. He'll prompt you. You can't, well, they don't want to know my story. How do you know that? Well, I was never in a gang. I never, murdered somebody. You know, all these horrible testimonies that we think we want to elevate, like, you got to be like that for you to have a testimony. No, your life has been changed by God's grace. You have something to share. You're not who you used to be. God has done something in you. So I want to encourage you again, testify. Share. Don't stay put. Go. There's family members that you've got to continue to pray for. Continue to share. Look for opportunities. I'm not talking about jamming things down their throat where they just puke and they don't want anything to do with church. That's not what we're called to do. It's showing them. It's sharing with them at appropriate times and appropriate words and asking the Holy Spirit to help you, praying for their heart to receive and to be open. So I want to encourage you today as we close the series, when God is full of surprises. He wants to use you. He cares about you. Let's pray.